Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. This is Belfast. This is a beautiful and sunny day in Belfast. And indeed, on Tuesday, at the invitation of the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ón Bhualór, we are in the Mayor's parlour. And Lord Mayor, Máirtín, you're very welcome to the programme.
Well, Adrian, to fault your role, very happy to be called Máirtín rather than any other title, but they're all great and sunny days in Belfast, not only because we've had the greatest summer on record, but because, you know, these really are days of great change, days of great challenge. They're testing days, but I think Belfast is making progress, and the proof of that is the huge numbers of American tourists and visitors who have made Belfast part of their vacation in Ireland this summer.
Let me ask you, though, we have had two cab drivers, and as we know from New York, if you really want to get a feel for a city, take the word of the cab driver. And the numbers may be a little bit off, but here's a cab driver who, on the way over here, said that 40,000 visitors to Belfast every week. And a cruise ship comes in every day and committed to do so for the next 6 months. And day and night, the activity in Belfast is only tremendous and very uplifting.
Well, I think that people like to go to cities where there's a story to hear and a story to be told. And that's certainly true of Belfast. I think there's, you know, huge interest coming here to see how the peace has transformed the city. Of course, when they get there or they get here, we have an outstanding offering. And again, you know, I think it's very interesting. And the warmth of the welcome makes the difference. You can go to many locations across Europe, for example, but I think the warmth of the welcome in Ireland really is stands out. It makes people come back. The tourism boom, I suppose, is the type of boom we like to see and witness in Belfast these days. And it's to do with the peace that, you know, people want to feel safe and secure where they go. They have an opportunity now to call into Belfast to sample the cuisine, to sample the arts, to visit Titanic Belfast. And, you know, I think more and more we're on the tourist map. And next year we hope to have 2.4 million overnight visitors. So places like Berlin make it 18 million. But for us, that's really concrete evidence of change. And those people will spend the best part of $1 billion in Belfast. So tourism, hospitality is one part of the new economic jigsaw of Belfast. So for me, it's a welcome sign of change.
You're starting to sound more like Mayor Bloomberg now than the Máirtín we knew over the years. However, I say that in jest, though indeed, you got a vote of confidence from Mayor Bloomberg of New York a couple of weeks ago when a rare occasion, and we have to point out that it was a very rare occasion, where protesters got somewhat out of hand on a very significant weekend when you had mostly law enforcement officers and participants from all over, particularly the United States. And there was the timing, I suppose, was right for those who would absolutely like to garner attention to themselves. You have had, anyway, our mayor says that you are mayor of all the people, and that definitely you belong, and it takes, you know, it goes with the territory, though it takes quite a bit of gumption to go to an area where, you know, protesters, many of them, you know, just nasty people, are there for the specific purpose of showing a part of the past that very few people would approve of.
Well, you know, I've had the good fortune to have spent a lot of time in America over the last 6 years, and I've tried to bring some of the principles of American democracy to this job and some of the, if I may, some of the verve, if you wish, and try and be more ambitious, because, you know, ambition in America just are a couple. And it's important to me that we take the American idea of you're the mayor for all the people. There shouldn't be any sectarian bunkers in this city. It shouldn't be a mayor for half the city. And the mayor, of course, has to discharge his or her obligations and duties without intimidation or fear. And it's very important to me when I get invitations, and they come in every day, to go to unionist areas of Belfast, strong unionist areas, that I accept those invitations, that we act wisely. None of us should act without the advice of the police. But we have to go to every part of the city. And that's a steadfast principle. And we had many years ago, many, many years ago, we had what they call no-go areas during the worst years of our war and troubles and conflict. And no one should want to bring those back. We should have shared areas of Belfast. And I think that the American friends I have and the American politicians I know would expect me to accept invitations to go to areas of Belfast where traditionally people from my political background would not be welcome, because they realise that you don't be the mayor for Andersonstown and Ardoyne, but not for the Shankill and Tigers Bay, and those are two great Republican areas and two great Unionist areas. You're the mayor for everyone, and you have to get on with it. So occasionally that's testing, it's challenging, but you know, you get knocked down, you dust yourself off, and you get back at it, and that's what Belfast is doing. And you know, Belfast was set back by some of the trouble during the wonderful World Police and Fire Games, 7,000 competitors, the biggest event ever on the island of Ireland in terms of competitors. And that was a setback, and on the Friday night, a group of loyalists attacked the police. But we closed the ceremony the next night. They declared it the best and friendliest games ever, and we're pushing on. There is no alternative to pushing on for peace together, and that is, I mean, I think that's what people, the vast majority of people expect in this city, and that's my determination and resolve.
In City Hall, Belfast, sitting with the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Martin O'Meilor, this has to be the most elegant and significant historic building, not only in Northern Ireland, but in Ireland. This is where some of history, which is seeping in history, but this is the most elegant building. To know that this was the building that you were actually thrown out of, about 25 years ago, because you dared to address the council, Askelge. And if we go back 25 years ago, I'm sure there were many who said, well, he was looking for it. Tell us about that period and that time.
You know, I think that the first thing I say when I talk about the past is that it is the past, that it is history. But when I first came here in 87, I was thrown out of my first meeting by the police after 10 minutes. I used to wear a flak jacket to work every day. I was banned from the Lord Mayor's parlour. But it was a time of terrible bloodshed, violence, division, rancor, what transformed all that is the peace, the ceasefires by the loyalists, by the Republicans, 94, the British coming to the peace table, the agreement of 1998, none of which would have been possible without America. So the past should inform us, but we shouldn't be locked in the past, and the priority today is to build the peace, and that means that someone in my position needs to keep challenging the boundaries. I've always said that my year as mayor of Belfast will be more challenging for Republicans than for Unionists, because I want to reach out. I want to really extend the hand of friendship. Those of us who lived through the horror of the 30 years of warfare here realise that if you do nothing else in life but prevent that happening again, it will be a great service. So the young people are moving on. They have a new perception of Belfast. What they see in Belfast is different than what I would have seen 30 years ago. And that has to be really the number one priority for Belfast. And I see all sorts of people on the other side of the aisle, on the other parts of the city, agreeing with that and saying, you know, let's try and understand each other a bit better. We're going to disagree. Every democracy, there are disagreements. These can be deeply felt disagreements, but we have to agree that there will be no more violence. And that's not only those of us in the city, it involves, of course, governments as well. And we're making progress on that. So, you know, I enjoy talking about the past as much as anyone else, but I'm very keen also to say that that is the past, and that with the Belfast today, not only evidence of the fact that I'm sitting in the Lord Mayor's parlour from which I was banned, but the Belfast today is one where peace is paramount and where people want to protect the peace.
You refer to young people. There are those who say, well, that actually young people are doing very well. They're getting on with their lives, and that they don't want any part of politics, period, and that maybe they're apathetic.
Well, I don't feel that. I think we have a very engaged young population in Belfast, maybe not engaged only through politics, but through the non-government agencies, through charity work, through voluntary work, through sport, through music. I see all these people as contributing to the diversity of the city and to the well-being of the city. But the young people, in my view, are also our greatest hope. They are more talented than we were. They expect more than we did. They are more ambitious than we were. And, you know, they really see no barriers. When they wake up in the morning, if you're 20-year-old in Belfast, I don't think you see, these are the areas I won't go into. But when I was 20, we thought, well, we only go in certain parts of the city. We only mix with certain people. And that was because it was a time of conflict. So, you know, I have great faith in the young people of Belfast. I think enough of them are engaged, and that they too believe in the city. And, you know, this idea of belief. Last year, when we had some flag protests in Belfast, the young people responded with a huge campaign called Take Back the City. And they really drove that saying, no, we're going into our city. This is our city. We're not going to bow down to the divisions of the past or the protests of the past. We want to really claim this city, and they used as one of their social media little hashtags was belief. And, you know, I believe in Belfast, and I'm confident that that belief will carry us through.
Can the new politics of Belfast be somewhat balanced by the huge number of cultural, not only activities, but a lot of the history of Belfast? There seems to be huge interest in Belfast, the history of Belfast, not just the recent history, but Belfast from centuries.
Well, I think we're very proud of our heritage, you know, and this, I've heard Peter Robinson speak about this, and the First Minister speak about this in America, where he talks about the planter and the Gael and making peace, and the sort of language of Martin Luther King sitting down together, our children and our grandchildren, and that has to be, we have to respect each other's heritage. You know, my neighbours are unionists, so I have to respect the Orange Order. I have to respect their reverence for the dead of the First World War in particular, which is very dear to them. We have to respect their traditions and culture. And though these things, for example, I've kept up in the Lord Mayor's parlour three portraits of the royal family, the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, and the Queen Mum from England, Queen Mother. And, you know, I did that deliberately. Royals don't mean anything to me. I'm a Republican. But they mean a lot to my neighbour, therefore they have to be important to me. And this idea of mutual respect, celebrate diversity, don't be afraid of anyone else's heritage or history. I think that has to be central to healing the wounds of the past and binding up the wounds of the nation.
And indeed, right beside those three very illustrious pictures is the Declaration of Independence, which is very blatant as you come through the door, Páilcleachta na hÉireann. Again, there seems to be an amazing balance within City Hall. Some of it, I thought, as we were walking, by the way, the building is just amazing. Take our City Hall in New York, you know, widen it, lengthen it, and there you would see, you know, City Hall of Belfast. But there is a tremendous history, both local and ancient history, that you can't escape. The tour of City Hall of Belfast, indeed, is one of the to-be-recommended trips if you are going to go to Belfast.
Yeah, and, you know, the wonderful thing about City Hall today, when I was here in the 80s, you know, it would have been a closed building. There were no really big celebrations in the city of Belfast, but today it's very much a people's building. It's more open than Boston City Hall. It's more open than New York City Hall. There are no security scanning going on when you come into the building. We would have certainly 2,000 people a week on the tours, but every day there would be different activity here, and I think that celebration of Belfast has to be central to City Hall. It's a very palatial building. It's well kept, but you know, buildings are really important if there are people in them. And as we look to try and understand what brings people together, I think that people respect making space for others. And the Lord Mayor's parlour actually is a shared space, and we need more of those in Belfast, because if you're a unionist or a Republican, you come in here and feel embraced. But we're also, you know, I have to try very hard because everybody's a minority in Belfast now. We need more symbols of our gay community. We need more symbols of our ethnic minorities in Belfast, of our asylum seekers, of our travelling people. And that's a work in progress. I think that, you know, Belfast is a multicultural city, and the secret of New York is diversity, and we need to celebrate that diversity more in Belfast and make sure it's recognised.
The exact opposite of what we sometimes, when people think of Northern Ireland in general and Belfast specifically, they think there are Catholics and Protestants. You're on one side of the wall or the other side now. On this Friday, you have a very interesting gathering, I'd say definitely for the first time in this building, of religious leaders, not just Catholics and Protestants, but tell us.
Well, it's interesting that the mayor has the right to do a number of things. One is that, well, I just took the right and appointed a poet laureate for Belfast, the wonderful Sinead Morrissey, which is has been, you know, very well received. Laureates are appointed by dint of leaders, and we appointed this wonderful poet laureate to say that the arts are central. But the faith, and I'm not a person of tremendous faith myself, but I respect those who have faith, and the work that churches do and the faiths do in Belfast is absolutely life-changing and enormous. So I've invited the faith leaders to the parlour on Friday to talk to them about how we can build a peace. The Christian churches, after my election, came out with a prayer for the city, which has been said for the prayers for the Lord Mayor, but also for the city and all the churches, all the Christian churches in Belfast on a Sunday. We've now asked our other religions and faiths in the city, and this Friday I'll have the rabbi, I'll have the imam, I'll have the Baha'i leader. We will have the Buddhist priest, Paul Haller, as well as the Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking all those faiths to appoint a chaplain to work with me. And I want those chaplains not only to be, traditionally a chaplain said grace at dinner, but I don't want that. I want them to be out delivering social justice, going with me when I visit people who are on the edge. And just today, I was at a project where a new asylum seeker here today from Somalia, which you know is wrecked by war, has arrived in Belfast today. And there are organizations in the city, charities, working with those people to try and make sure that they don't fall off the edge of the world, that there is a welcome and that they can process the asylum application. So I want my chaplains to be out there. You know, I'll be meeting later this week a group which deals with those who have been bereaved by suicide, which, as you know, is a scourge in Ireland. And I want my chaplains to go with me. They'll ask permission by each group, but I think they can bring some solace, some hope to those on the edge in Belfast. But at the same time, churches have a key job to do in building the peace, urging dialogue, urging reconciliation. So it's going to be interesting bringing them together on Friday and asking them to really get stuck in. This is not a spectator sport in my view. Peace building has a role for everyone, and churches have done a lot, and now we want them to do more.
Now, there is one area where this year where you really are getting off light and one sense, and that is, of course, that you are the owner of Belfast Media Group, a slew of newspapers, including Irish America's leading Irish American newspaper, the Irish Echo. You've had to make that conscious decision before taking this job that this is the job, this is where your interests are going to be, and wherever your business interests are, will still be there a year from now. Is that Is that a rough one?
Well, please God that they'd be stronger, because I have a great team of people, and now they've got me out of the way, I think they're getting the bits and pieces that I wasn't sorting out, they're getting them sorted out. So, you know, the Americans talk about the privilege of serving, and I believe in that very much. But there's no greater service you can give the city of Belfast than to be the Lord Mayor. It's only for 52 weeks. It is a real privilege. It's an honour. And I intend to really work at it for those 52 weeks. As I said earlier, there's 40 weeks and 6 days left, so I am counting the days. I want to use every minute for the benefit of the city. But I will get to America, and I will get to see Irish America, and I'm really calling on people to across America to support the community cultural business links with Belfast, which can help build the peace.
How much does inward investments, which again obviously would be where American support and involvement, how is that going compared to a few years ago? Is it pretty much the same? Has it improved any? Will the generally peaceful climate in Northern Ireland, is that paying off? Is this a slow process? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we're north and south, we're emerging from recession, but I think that America is also coming out of what they call the Great Recession, and companies and corporations are starting to make investment decisions again. I think you see those coming into all parts of Ireland. Belfast is home already to the New York Stock Exchange, to Citi, to Allstate, to Liberty Mutual, to CyberSource, the great Bill McLaughlin from New York. And I think we will attract more investment in the time ahead. Tonight I'm having dinner with a businessman from the west coast of America who, it turns out, is also deeply interested in Irish music. He spent the week in Derry at the Flag Show, calling in the day, and you know, we think there may be a big investment there. So you have to set out your proposition. We have 50,000 young people at universities in Belfast. We have the best broadband connectivity in these islands, and we're just spending $30 million on that. We have the youngest working population, youngest workforce in Europe. We have the lowest, or the most competitive cost base in Europe when it comes to work, and we have lots of talent. So we're setting our stall. Chicago Mercantile Exchange came in last year. They now employ 100 people in the city of Belfast. Senior members of staff moved here. So we now have 7 people, families from Chicago living here. So those things give me hope that we are making the right proposition for business. We're not as competitive on tax, but we're very competitive on talent. And what I hope to do in the months ahead, I'm going to Silicon Valley in October, leading the first ever trade and investment mission, technology mission from Belfast to Silicon Valley. Next year in February, the American Ireland Fund has agreed to partner with me and partner with the council, bringing the first ever investment mission that they've got involved with into the city of Belfast. And so, you know, I will be visiting America a lot this year, because we need to really sell the city in the best way possible, but we also need to say to Irish America that they can do more to make sure that the peace is sustainable and that the peace blossoms in the time ahead. And the key to that is jobs. There's no better way, there's no greater cement for peace than jobs.
My guest, friends, in the parlour of Belfast City Hall, Máirtín Ó-Maolar, Lord Mayor of Belfast, and want to, as an entrepreneur, as a civic leader, who is the Sinn Féin councillor for Balmoral, or is it Balmoral?
Well, it's interesting, in Belfast, all the names usually revert back to the newer names revert back to England, but I'm a Sinn Féin councillor for South Belfast. The city's been transformed in recent years by, I suppose, demographics have changed the city, the political fortunes of the city have changed. But I'm really positive about the future, really positive about the young people and the city's prospects. And when President Obama was here in June, he said, look, there will be testing times for the peace process, and I agree with that. But I think we're really up to the challenge, and that we will move forward as a people and as a city.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your invitation to visit Belfast, because primarily that's why we're here.
It's great to see you and Andrew here. Thank you very much for coming, Carmichael.
Or me to Michael.